707. That's good. And we, at the beginning, we will talk about a remote public meeting. And participants can come in via Zoom, on their computer, on a cell phone, or on a landline. If they have any problems, they can let us know, and we can continue the meeting at a later time. And I assume nobody has any problems. So we will have any public comment not associated with those things already on the agenda. Any public comment? Agenda review. Are there any additions or deletions on the agenda as printed? There are two things that I would like to add, and I would briefly like to discuss the TIGO intersection and the progress on that, and also brick building repairs regarding finishing up the brick building and what we all want to do about that. Are there any other additions?
No additions, but I've got a question about agenda item 5D, the Two Rivers meeting. What's that about?
Well, I received a notification that Two Rivers is having another hearing on their regional plan, and I thought it ought to be brought to the public's attention and also the select board attention.
Okay. Emily?
Yes?
Does the LeBounty probate need to be added?
Yes, we should also add that. Thank you, Cindy.
Just for sake of clarity, can we just reword? I don't think 5D is a meeting. It's just notice about Two Rivers regional plan. So, it's really kind of a correspondence issue that.
Well, that's fine, but they are having a hearing on 7-1, and perhaps meeting was a poor choice of words. I don't really care as long as the public is aware that there have been changes made and that there is a hearing that is going to take place, and they can do that via Zoom.
Got it.
And I thought it was more important than just correspondence at the end when half of the people that come just to listen are gone. Any other additions?
Emily,
I need a motion then.
Emily?
Yes?
Is there any update on size marking of the trees on the Pomfret Road and the subsequent removal by timber tender?
Yes. But can we talk about that under road foreman's report?
Absolutely.
I will write it under their trees size. So I need a motion to add these three items.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor, Scott?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay, we will add those. We'll probably do the TIGO intersection when we talk with the road foreman report intersection. The other two we can add anywhere along the line. So approval of the 6/3/2019 minutes. I need a motion.
I've got it. I'll move that we approve them, but I've got some edits to make.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Your comments, Scott?
Just a couple. One correction under 5D under the Pike financials. Just for sake of clarity, that I didn't actually... shifting funds was not a third option. What Ellen was describing, what I said at the meeting is that it's not really borrowing that we would be doing. It's all cash at the end of the day. So it's not a third option, or it's not even shifting funds around. That's not what I said. What I was saying is I was just clarifying that we're not really borrowing money when we, what I said is that from a financial accounting standpoint, the obligation for those reserve funds stays on the books. But as far as the cash goes, we can use it for whatever we need to spend out of a reserve fund, as long as there's cash. That's basically what.
So how would you like to change the wording?
I would just like it clarified that I wasn't suggesting about shifting money around, or that it's not really borrowing. That basically I was just clarifying. I'll just write Cindy an email with the clarification.
Okay. Under G, Rita Sato is not the bike pass specialist. That is a gentleman whose name I cannot remember at the moment, and I didn't check, from Montpelier that looked at those drawings, and he had several suggestions. Rita Sato works down at Two Rivers and is the transportation person down there.
The other suggestion I have, Cindy, if you would, under 5H, just include, I think, was it in the, somewhere in the minutes, we should include what the total list of policies that I sent you are. Just include that in the minutes.
Okay.
So that was it for edits, though.
And one small one, it says 2019. I think that should be 20, right?
Where?
For the minutes. It says 6/3/2019, and it should be 2020.
Okay.
Just a small thing.
Thank you.
So with corrections, would someone like to amend that motion to add, with corrections, the minutes will be approved?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in, any more discussion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay, moving on. Warrants for approval. I have, are you here tonight, Ellen?
She is.
Yes, I am.
Well, I have 19120 and 19119, but I couldn't find anywhere in my emails 19118. Am I missing that?
Not necessarily. I do warrants for the Cemetery Commission and for the library, and so sometimes they aren't in consecutive order.
Okay, thank you.
There should be three warrants for tonight, two payroll warrants and one accounts payable.
All right, then the other payroll warrant should have been 117?
Perhaps, I don't know.
121.
121.
And 111.
Do you have an amount for that, Cindy?
I have it in my email. I can put it in. You want me to read it?
Yes. Can you give me the amount?
Yep. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
Payroll. It's $5,371.61.
Thank you. Okay, so we have three, one warrant and two payroll items, 19121 that Cindy just told us about for $5,371.61, 19120, which is accounts payable, for $23,489.21, and 19119 for $8,850.75. Are there any questions on those? Ellen sent them to us all. In that case, I move that we pay those warrants. I need a second.
Second.
Any questions about them from anybody? Then all those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. All right, now moving on, road foreman's report. Is John Harrington here tonight, John?
He is not.
Okay, that's fine. Jimmy is haying, and he said he might not get back here in time. And I said that was okay. He met with the Tego store construction team this evening, or he was supposed to meet with them at 5 and work out the arrangements for where they could put the barricades and barriers regarding their construction project. And Kevin Rice was supposed to be there as well. And I was hanging, and I did not make it, but I warned him that I would not. And so hopefully that is taken care of. John has been staying on task with Pike, and it's been a little bit of a struggle, but we seem to be getting there. They've got it paved, or they're working on getting it paved. They've gotten through Pomfret on the first coat, and John is staying on task with them, and that seems to be, Jimmy seems to be happy with what they've done at this point, and so things are proceeding along in that regard. Jimmy also spoke to me that the 4-foot culvert above Ron Galati's is going to have to be replaced this summer, and he is working on that. He's also working on whether or not we're going to need to get somebody in to poke at the ledges on the project up Bunker Hill Road, where Two Rivers grant is going to be applied that we got for this fiscal year. That deadline has been extended to October 15th, so we should be okay there. He's got Kevin mowing 3 days a week, and he's been cleaning out ditches and doing that stuff, but he has spent some time keeping track of Pike. And those are the only things that he talked to me about. And as far as trees are concerned, he did talk to Cy about the tree work, and Timber Tenders is busy now, and they will not do it for a while. So the trees probably are not marked, or maybe they are. I have not been down to Woodstock for at least a month or more. But they're not going to do anything with those right away. Any other questions of stuff that you want to know about that he might have said something and I forgot?
I just want to compliment, even though Jim's not here, I just want to compliment what I saw yesterday driving around and watching him grading on Webster Hill. I was pretty impressed that they are refining their techniques on getting down into the ditches with the blade and pulling it back up into the road. So that was it was really good to see that.
Also, compliments on the mowing that they've been doing. That particularly, I have seen it from on the Pomfret Road between my house and Woodstock. So they're doing well there. But I would like to add something about the Tego. situation that I met with Jim tonight and Kevin Rice and Nate Madden, who is the foreman of the renovation project at the Tego store. And we went through very carefully what the fire department might need in far as terms of ingress and egress. And we agreed that we had allowed them two meetings ago to close the store from that, to close that road from June 1st to October 15th. And those are still the numbers that the dates we're using. But we did agree, and Kevin actually pulled the fire truck out and we tried several different methods of ingress and egress. And he agreed that the best thing was to close off that that section of the road entirely of the Pomfret Road from the Tego store intersection, or the intersection with the Stage Road and where it meets again the Pomfret Road. And the best choice was to block that off entirely, leaving egress to the north for both the pickets and for the fire department. And Kevin tried it with the truck several different ways and found that that egress works whether the fire department has to go north or south. So we agreed that we would allow them to close that off entirely. And that eliminates a lot of issues about whether or not we need to keep one lane open, and whether or not people would be confused and finding the road blocked, but apparently one lane open. So that's where we left it with them. Jim was happy with that. Kevin was happy with that. And although I don't have any expertise about driving fire trucks in and out, I was happy with it as well. So that's where we are on that.
Thank you for going, Chuck. I tried to call you at noontime to ask if you could go, but yes. you did not answer your phone. And I really appreciate that, because I knew I wasn't going to make it either.
Yeah,
because no, I had hay down.
Yeah, I saw it was you calling, so I didn't answer.
That figured.
No, I'm joking. I was out, and I didn't know it until I'd gotten home. But by that time,
you have every right to go out.
By that time, I'd already gotten in touch with Jim, and I agreed that I would meet him. So,
excellent. I'm dealt with grateful. On the Tego situation, I have asked Mr. Warden to do the turn study, the auto turn study that John suggested for tractor trailers in addition to just box trucks. And Chris Bump also has been on these emails, and he suggested that we have them paint out exactly where they want to do what they want to do so that we can see exactly where it is. And he suggested that, and hopefully Mr. Warden will do that. Jimmy was going to talk to them tonight about that, and I assume he did. Hopefully we can come to some decision regarding that part of their permit. The bike path pedestrian specialist had some comments on those plans and the type of signage and stuff that was needed, and we'll have to consider that when we have another meeting regarding that. But hopefully those things will get painted out and we can do another site visit and socially distance and then make a decision for them so we don't hold them up indefinitely. I don't think we're going to get any more input from V-Trans, at least not at this point, until they mark it out.
And that was part of our meeting tonight. We did talk about that with the foreman there, Nate, and asked him to make sure that that got marked exactly where they proposed to put the curbing, and also that the engineer, Kevin Warden, as you mentioned, would do that auto turn examination of the intersection. So they are going to do that. They're going to mark that out so that we can see it.
Excellent. That's going to be great. Any other questions on road foreman report? Because I am not the road foreman, but I'm just sharing with you what Jimmy has told me in the last few days or whenever I last talked with him. Moving on, items for discussion or vote. Financial issue, Pike bills. They've sent two Pike bills now. Is that correct, Ellen?
Yes, that's right.
And both of those have been sent to John Harrington to verify. He still has some questions on the first bill, and I don't know what he's done with the second bill. He hasn't. You only got that yesterday or today, Monday maybe?
Well, I've gotten it recently, but nothing's been paid, and we're just waiting to get approval from John and Jim.
So we're waiting on approval from that, and it appears as though we can use our cash reserves for paying the bills. So that does not seem to be an imminent issue at this point. But until John signs off on those bills and Jimmy, we're not going to pay them.
Right.
I also had Cindy include, for your information, the Pike change order. And that is regarding the culverts and whatever. Some different things that happened that were not anticipated. That is not set in stone. John Harrington has asked them some questions on that, and I checked my emails today, and they have not responded back to him yet. And my suggestion would be to do one change order at the end. There may be still some additional things that have to get worked out. And I just thought you ought to see what they were thinking. And so, any questions on that? Jimmy also did mention that they, or John did, that they, when they measured that with one of those wheels and walked the road, it is going to be a little bit more expensive because there's an extra 300 feet or 500 feet or something. John did write an email, and I don't know whether he wrote it to all of us or just to Jimmy, and then I got a copy of it. The unit price for asphalt has been going down since we signed the contract. So that was that index price that we discussed and decided we wanted to sign on to. And so that should help us out as well. Anything else? That's really all I know. Okay. Two Rivers Regional Planning Commission hearing. I received notice from Two Rivers that they were having a hearing on the 1st of July via Zoom regarding changes in the plan. And you can look at those changes if you go to their website. There was a Thompson future land use area map for change, and they had changes in that. They had changes in the Bradford future land use area map, and also they added a land use chapter, Queechy Gorge Tourist Area, and it replaces the Queechy Gorge mixed use area, but the boundaries do not change. And so if we're interested, we can go to that meeting. It's July 1, 2020 at 10 a.m. via Zoom. Any questions? Okay, moving on. Town hall rentals and COVID-19. Chuck, you had a question, and I inquired from VLCT regarding liability issues and sanitizing issues. And unfortunately, the email reply that they sent to me went into my archives section, and I just found it today. But he had some helpful suggestions as to where we could go to determine whether or not we would be able to rent the town hall to townspeople this summer. Do you know what the I think, Chuck, you had someone ask you about the town hall rental, yes?
I did. I had somebody ask me about the possibility of renting the town hall for either the 5th of August or the 12th of August for a wedding of perhaps 35 to 40 people. And so I called Becky to see whether the town hall was available and whether or not renting the town hall was any different in this era of COVID-19. And she said she really wasn't sure. She said, for one thing, she's had no requests to rent the town hall at all for the next foreseeable future. And she just didn't know how to respond. And she said it was a question for the select board. So, the one thing that she did bring up was the latest Vermont regulations regarding how many people you can have in a space, and then the issue of cleaning and sanitizing. And I don't know, it's also vague. So I thought I should ask for it to be placed on the agenda and we discuss it. I mean, one of the things that I thought was that as far as sanitizing is concerned, if there's been almost no interest in renting it and we could limit it to once every 2 weeks or something, then there really wouldn't be a problem with sanitizing it. But I'm not sure about that.
Well, the letter from VLCT, which I only found this evening, and I apologize for that, gave me some guidance as to where to ask the questions for the sanitizing and also whether or not what our passive insurance would say about this, and whether or not if we were going to do a rental agreement, whether we should put a whole harmless clause in it and what our liability issues were. And so I would suggest that I reach out to those individuals and we can have an answer or we can have some information by the next meeting. And I will share that information as soon as, and if and when I receive it, so that you can all digest it. I would think that, I just think, I don't know enough to know whether, myself, I don't know enough to know whether a deep cleaning and sanitizing of the hall before and after each use like that is something that is going to be required. And if it is, certainly the people that rented it would be responsible for that. I don't know whether you would have to get a commercial cleaning service in there. And so I don't have any answers for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't assume that a deep cleaning would be needed beforehand if this was the first event that was going to be happening there since, you know, whenever
the last
event was.
Well, no, it's been there since town meeting. So
yeah, since town meeting day. So, but certainly a cleaning might be needed afterwards. Unless the building were not going to be used for a period of time that was deemed to be more than safe. So,
we would also, I don't know exactly what the size of the building is, but we would have to determine the square footage allowance for a number of people.
And, right.
But that's something that we could do easily. But I will get some guidance from the various places that they suggested I ask and see what I can come up with before the next meeting, and then we can have a definitive answer for Becky.
Yeah, okay.
Any other questions on that? Moving on then to dog matters. Cindy had the letters ready to go. And when we discussed this at the last meeting, we said these were going to be letters that were similar to the one that Jen Hewitt got regarding giving them the ordinance and just reminding them that there was one and their dogs had to be under control. And then Cindy said that Scott wanted to have the incidents of the dogs in the letters. And that was not something we discussed. It was not something we decided on. And by then it was already Monday and I asked her to hold on to the letters. And so we can discuss that now.
I thought I said, didn't I mention that at the last meeting that it should include? It wasn't after the fact.
No, it's not in the minutes and I do not I did not listen to the recording.
I did. Yeah. I said it at the last meeting that just so we are stating for the record in the letter itself, because the letter becomes the record, that we're putting in the letter what happened, the facts surrounding it, the where and when.
Well, that's in the record with the letter that we got from Kathy Peters.
Right. But my question then is the same as it is now, is it just the situation with Kathy, or are there other incidents besides the one with Kathy?
I was told by a jogger that they went down the road and they were concerned about the aggressive manner in which Spencer Swank's dog came out, and they turned around and went back up the road, and they have not run down the road since.
So is this, just for sake of clarity.
But what day that occurred, I do not know.
Are we talking about multiple incidents with the same dog or dogs, or different incidents with different dogs?
There are three incidents that I know about, all three with different dogs.
Okay. And so that's what I meant is, yes, I understand that with Kathy's letter, we've got the facts, the where, when, but I mean, for all the different incidents, there should be in the letter just a recitation of what happened, what the complaint was, and and where we differed, and I think we all agreed on that, but I think where we differed last time, and I don't think we came to any agreement on it, was the putting in the letter some language that says, if it happens again, this will be the next step, or this, we will consider this as the next step, or whether it's just a friendly, we just want to make you aware, you know, please don't let it happen again sort of thing.
Happy has her hand up and may be able to clarify. So,
John, John Peters.
Yes.
I haven't seen Kathy's letter, so if somebody could tell me the dates and.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm including the dog ordinance with the letters, and that clearly explains the steps that will be taken.
Well, sort of, because there are different steps. Yes, the ordinance lays out different things that can happen, but it doesn't say what would happen in this particular instance. But again, I think Chuck was trying to make the point before that we're just trying to be friendly about this. So if that's all we're trying to do, then we don't need to put any sort of consequences in there or even reference any consequences. But the only reason I bring that up is that for the sake of the person complaining, they might want to have confidence that the board is going to potentially do something if it happens again. So that's where I was coming from on that. But
so I just wanted to add that I wasn't part of Spencer's dog issue. I wasn't there for that. His dog I haven't seen when I've been up there. But the other two dogs, it's multiple times. Pretty much every single time I go up the road. It isn't just the one time that I sent the letter about that. The letter got sent mostly because I fell off the horse and I was just about sick of it. But the two dogs that I'm complaining about, it is a repeated thing that's been going on for years and I've just become fed up about it. So okay. Repeating those incidents in the letter seems more than necessary at the moment. And if they, you know, I think it should be a general letter saying, keep your dog on a leash and out of the road. And if they can't handle that, then they could come to you again. And if they want to talk to me, I'm happy to talk to them. But it isn't something where they're going to be shocked and surprised because they're getting the letter because it just happened once. This is a ongoing and constant issue with the two people with the dogs that I see every single time I go up and down that road.
Okay.
Kathy, what do you want to see happen if it were to happen again?
If it happens again, I'd like somebody to go and tell them that the dog has to stay on a leash or in a fence. And if they don't, then there has to be some type of follow through. But for now, just telling them, because honestly, I don't think they even think that the dog barking at the horse is a problem or running out in the road is a problem, but it's always a car coming the other way. And there's always, you know, the one time where it bounds over the bank and gives you a heart attack. People don't have a clue that startling things, and when you're sitting on top of a flight animal, it is really unhelpful. And even as just a human, if a dog jumps behind you, what are you going to do? You're going to jump. But the problem is when you're sitting on a multiple foot high horse, when it jumps, you don't always go with it because physics doesn't work that way. So it would just be nice if they aren't in the road. If they run at me and they stop at their boundary, I can deal with that. But when they leap into the road in front of you and you've nowhere to go except into a car or over a bank, it's really dangerous.
So what, if I hear you, what you're saying is you would like them to be told to control their dogs either by fencing them or leashing them.
Well, I'd like them to be told that they're supposed to have their dogs under control. Then yep. If it happens again, which I probably will never go up that road again because there are illegal dirt bikes and four-wheelers going up and down at 100 miles an hour and all kinds of other dangerous things that shouldn't be happening. But if I choose to go up it again and the dog is in the road again, then something else has to happen. But just to tell them that isn't okay, just because they own both sides of the road doesn't mean that their dog should be in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they have a clue.
I think it's really important to point out that there is a dog ordinance that it does say that dogs should be under control, whether on a leash or not, whether they should be under control of their owners at all times. And if someone is leaving their dog out all day long, unattended, it is not under control by their owner. I don't know whether this letter reminding them of that will do any good at all. However, I think that is the first step. It did work in the Jen Hewitt incident with the stable up there. The dogs no longer seem to be a problem. It would seem that this would be the logical first step. I don't think they do know there's a dog ordinance, and I don't think they probably care. They figure they're up there, and it's in the wild blue yonder, and there's no paved road, and so it's okay. But it's really not, because not only are cars allowed to use the road and the right-of-way, so are horseback riders and bikers and joggers, and we're providing a right-of-way for everyone. And when dogs come out and attack or appear to wish to attack and scare someone back, and the person that I spoke to, who was Sam Zone, and he jogged down the road, and he said, I will never jog down that road again. He said, I don't like dogs. And he says, I don't want to be attacked. And he said, I just won't go down that way anymore. And that shouldn't be happening, that he should have the ability to use the road just like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
And some people are deathly afraid of dogs. And maybe they got bitten when they were young. Who knows? But they should be able to use the road as well. And so I think the letters are a first stab at it. And if that doesn't work, I don't know. I did not ask him to put the complaint in writing, and he did not tell me on what date he ran. But
was that Schwenk's dog? Was that Schwenk's dog?
Yes. Zone?
Okay.
Someone, and I cannot remember who, asked about the dog matters, and I explained that there were three groups of dogs there, and one was menacing. Oh yeah, she said, I don't ride my bike up that road anymore. I just can't do that. And so it's not just these two individuals that are being excluded from using a town resource. That's just my opinion.
I just want to echo what, you know, Kathy said. I was up there with my family 2 weekends ago on a bike and someone on a horse. And yeah, you know, the two repetitive problems for her are ones where they do own both sides of the road, which is problematic because then the dogs realize that, you know, the people are going back and forth, but also the dogs are left out without the people around, which is problematic. So the road is basically their dooryard, but it's not. It's a public right of way. And the other part of this, which isn't related to the dog matters, but she did bring up briefly, was there are, on occasion, many people up there on dirt bikes, which are riding up and down the road. At A, they're not registered, and B, at a very high rate of speed. So I don't know what we do about that as well. But one came flying down the road the day that I was up there on a bicycle. So
maybe we have the state police spend some time up there for a little while.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that we need to be given necessarily tickets out right away, but certainly some education.
Yes, yep.
I think, so what I'm understanding is that there was a letter sent to Jen Hewitt.
This was a couple years ago, and what was happening up there was all of the clients at the stable were bringing their dogs and just letting them loose.
Right,
and so there was a pack of dogs that was bothering individuals. I spoke to Jen, and then I wrote her a letter, a follow-up letter, and included the ordinance. And I suggested to her that if it was her client's dogs and she had no control over them, the best thing for her to do was to tell her clients to leave their dogs home.
Yeah.
And by writing the letter, it gave her a reason to tell them that. And I don't know how happy the people are up there, but there have been no more complaints.
Right. But we have, and now we've discussed this at, I think, the last two meetings before this meeting, and apparently we have not yet sent a letter to these most recent people.
That is correct.
We've discussed sending a letter, and my feeling is that we need to get a letter off to these people saying what we've said, that there is a zoning ordinance, that there is a dog ordinance, that they need to have their dogs under control, and that there have been complaints from people who feel they are threatened on that stretch of road. And I would think that Kathy's comments tonight constitutes multiple complaints.
Yeah, I think we need some kind of a blanket.
Yeah. So
that we can just have.
So I think what we need to do is get a letter off immediately to these people, letting them know that there have been complaints and that there shouldn't be complaints because there's a dog ordinance and it's something that should never happen.
And also at the end of the letter, I would suggest that if indeed they wish to discuss this in with the board individually and ask questions, that we would be glad to put them on the agenda and we can show them the complaints at that point. But as far as I'm concerned, just getting the letter out is the way to go. I did not realize that we were going to delineate out the complaints. And if I misunderstood, I apologize. But because the letters were going out on Monday and the meeting was on Wednesday, I thought we better clarify it.
Yeah.
So
I do remember that Scott mentioned that at the last meeting, that it would be practical to list the complaints so that if there was any question, we could say, well, it happened on this date or that date. But I think that even more importantly is to just get the letter out there to these people.
I thought we were going to have a draft for tonight so that we could actually get it out the door after tonight. So
you saw that draft. It is the draft that John sent us 2 weeks ago at the meeting.
Right. I saw that as well.
Yeah, and I think that suffices. Get that out.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, for the sake of urgency, but I would, just as Emily suggested, I think opening that door to say, if you'd like to talk about a select board meeting, just add that to the end of the letter.
Yeah, I would agree. But I wouldn't call it for the sake of urgency, because I don't think at this point it's an issue of urgency when something has been brought up to us, and it's been, last month that we first brought it up, and that we haven't, done anything about it yet. I think we just need to go ahead and get that letter out there.
I agree with you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Do you want to make a motion, or do we just agree by consensus that it's time to get the letters out?
I'll make a motion that it's time to get the letters out. And I think that John's draft, and I'm not recalling it precisely, I did read it, said what needed to be said, that there is a dog ordinance and there have been complaints. And in case you, whatever it said, in case you didn't know, there is a dog ordinance in town. You need to abide by it.
They're ready to go.
I will second that. Any more discussion? All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
I'm an aye. Moving on.
Actually, Emily, before we move off of this, I just want to briefly mention this, and this may be worth another agenda item for another meeting, but we do have an ATV and snowmobile ordinance. It's already been in effect for 16 years. And ATVs are not allowed on town roads at all. They're not permitted at all. And there are actually penalties for violating the ordinance. So we do have an ordinance that governs ATVs, at least. I don't know about motorcycles, but dirt bikes, but that's at least for ATVs.
Yeah, I think that's a good issue to bring up as well. And I wouldn't want to suggest it necessarily that the select board should solicit a complaint from somebody regarding ATVs on public rights of way. But maybe if we did have one, we could send a letter out regarding that as well.
To your point, Chuck, I don't know that we would solicit it, but
yeah, I don't either. I'm just throwing that out.
It does have an enforcement provision, and it does say the state police or the sheriff's department is responsible for it.
Right. And I wasn't suggesting soliciting one, but if by chance we happen to have one, then maybe we could send out a letter.
Let's put that on the agenda. Because it isn't on the agenda, we really can't take action.
Right.
So let's put it on the agenda for the next meeting. I think what you're going to, and John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that the kids that are these are kids that are running the ATVs and the dirt bikes up there.
Yes.
And this is how they're entertaining themselves for the spring, summer, and fall. And it's my understanding there are a lot of trails up there that they use as well. Am I correct?
The dirt biker was an adult.
Because they have no license plate
and they're illegal, you can't find out who's running it because they wear a helmet. And because there's no enforcement in this town, there's no way to find that person. And it's regularly people, because that's not the only dirt biker. But if you're wearing a helmet and you don't have a license plate, how am I supposed to know who you are?
How often do you see the dirt bikes up the road?
You hear them up the road all the time. I've only seen them on 3 occasions, and we've only been riding up there for 2 years. But every single time, they're going 100 miles an hour down the dirt road with a truck behind them, and they have a helmet on and no license plate, because I get off the horse to turn around to find their license plate, because I will hunt them down because they're not legal. And I know they're not, but there's no way to identify who's driving it. The four-wheelers are not a big deal. They try to be respectful. They don't belong on the road, and that's fine. But at least they try. The dirt bikers, on the other hand, are not legal because they don't have a license plate, so they can't drive it on the road. And you can't tell who they are, and they know that.
So what it boils down to is we don't know who to send a letter to anyway.
That is correct. So the letter isn't going to work.
Yeah.
So maybe we should suggest to the state police that they go up that road on some of their travels now and then. And I can send an email if if you all think that is a good idea, I can send an email to the state police. I assume Barb, whoever she is still there, and suggest that they there's some dirt bike issues up Bartley Brook Road, and maybe while they're in town, could they go up there? Would that be acceptable to the board?
I don't see why not. Be a nice surprise for some people.
Make sure you can vote on that today because it's not on the agenda. You may have to still bring it up at another meeting.
Yeah, it's fine for tonight, but we would need to put it on the next agenda.
Yeah, so let's do that.
I mean, I don't think we need to vote on the state police to go up there.
Well, I can email the state police and just suggest that there has been some discussion of dirt bikes up that road that are not legal, and perhaps when they're doing their work in the area, maybe they could drive up that road now and then and patrol there as well and see what's going on.
Yeah,
John. I don't think we need to vote to decide to ask them to patrol in a certain area. Right. At least Jimmy Potter didn't get a vote, and he asked them to come up and because people were being pretty obnoxious with the redo of the road here and driving at a high rate of speed, and he asked the state police. He happened to meet Barb and. On the road and asked her if she could send him up there, and he didn't have approval from the board either, so I think we can do that without a vote.
That's right. Anybody can ask the state police to ride up there.
So I will send an email to her suggesting that maybe Bartlett Brook Road might be a place where they could drive up and down a couple times and see what's going on and have a presence there more than just being at Tego where one side of the road is closed.
Yeah, good.
I'm sure it's the same dirt bikes, but we've heard them as well up here. They go out through this class 4 road on Wild Apple. They're probably somebody from in the neighborhood going down to see some friends down there at Bartlett Brook.
Probably. And, of course, there's all those trails that Tom Harvey used to have that go everywhere, and they're quite nice, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Kathy, do you have your hand up, or is that from before?
Oh, did you have your hand up, Kathy?
Sorry, that was from before. I just never took it down. I suck.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Okay. Moving on. Policy and ordinance update, conflict of interest. I have not had time to read that. I didn't get in here till after 6 because I've been haying for the last several days. However, if everyone else has read it and you want to act on it, that's fine. I would prefer to act on the changes and read it sometime between now and the next meeting. Do you want to explain what you might have done to it, Scott?
Sure, and it's fine. I don't think there's anything that pressing. But basically, the upshot of the changes are that these are not – we don't really have a choice. If we in the future, when we get subgrants from FEMA, or actually grants from FEMA and subgrants from the state, this is mandatory language that has to be in our conflicts of interest policy. And basically, the changes are around, we had a lot of kind of permissive language that things may or may not happen. And in the Federal Register, there's no may about it. There's certain things that must happen. So, for instance, if there's a conflict of interest, if a conflict of interest is found, someone has to recuse themselves. There's no may recuse themselves; they must. And then, if somebody violates the conflict of interest policy, our policy said they may be subject to disciplinary action, but under the Federal Register, there's no may about it. It doesn't say what disciplinary action, so it can be a range, but some action has to be taken. And then the other change is basically just a expansion of who is subject to the conflict of interest policy. And it's not just elected officials, it's employees or agents of the town. So if we hire a contractor who is acting on behalf of the town, they too are subject to the conflict of interest policy. So this is all mandatory language required by the federal government.
Does this have to be in there so it applies to all matters of the town or just when dealing with the grants?
No, all matters of the town.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't stipulate that it's just when dealing with the federal government. But I would say it would be a bad idea to try and break it apart.
No, I agree. I just didn't know what it.
No, this is a blanket, yeah. A blanket thing that actually describes what conflict of interest is, and also what is not conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And I read through it, and I apparently looked to me like I was able to make a couple of edits, which I did. One was just a spelling error, and one was where a piece of boilerplate language was left in that needed to be replaced by the words "the town of Pomfret."
Okay.
And I made those edits, but apart from that, this is it's a blanket thing that applies everywhere, according to the way I see it, and it's also just plain common sense. So as with the two edits that I made, which actually don't change anything, I think this is fine. And so I would be in favor of adopting this as a policy.
Did you send those edits to Cynthia?
I didn't know how to do that.
Did you just do it in SharePoint, Chuck?
I did it in SharePoint.
So the changes are there then? They'll stay there in the version. So Cynthia, we just need to get you successfully using SharePoint.
Can I don't have any problem if you guys have read it. I have not read it, but that's fine. Can we get a final version and then send it with the packet at the next meeting and then adopt it so we all know what changes have been made? I just feel that we should have a policy that has everything changed in it, and this is what we're going to adopt so that there's no confusion, and include it in the agenda package, and we'll adopt it at the next meeting.
Sounds good to me.
No problem.
Yeah.
And so everybody look at it. If they want to make any changes or are there any more spelling errors or anything, and then we'll get it to it will get to Cindy before the next agenda packet is due, and then we can get it into the next agenda package. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And then the public will see it as well, which probably isn't a bad idea.
No, it's a good idea.
Now, we have preparation for personnel reviews. Cindy included a document that she worked on. Scott, in the minutes, it said that you were going to prepare a document. Did you do that?
I didn't come away with the last meeting thinking that there was something I was supposed to do. So I'm not sure what it is I was supposed to do.
I only read the minute. Let me just find the rest of the minutes here.
I don't know what it was I was supposed to do. I read that as well, but, it didn't get done.
If we're going to do Jimmy next week and also Cindy, we need to have some review form. Did everyone read the one that Cindy included in the packet, and will that suffice?
I read it. I think it's missing. The only thing that it's missing really is there needs to be space after each subsection under part 3 for comments. So there are subsections A through K, and there just needs to be room for adding comments to each of those. But otherwise, it's fine.
It's Frank's instrument. I just typed it because we didn't have an electronic copy.
Yeah, okay. But That's fine. I mean, it was something that we never adopted.
Right. And I'll put the spaces in.
Okay. Otherwise, so, fine.
Can you send that to us before before next Wednesday if we're going to have those reviews? Cindy, can you get that ready so that we can have that ahead of next Wednesday?
I'll do it tomorrow.
We can print it off?
Tomorrow.
Okay. So we can print it off.
Yes.
And so then are we going to schedule those reviews for next Wednesday as we tentatively did agreed that we would do last week?
Sounds good to me.
Is everybody happy with that?
Next meeting, you mean, not next Wednesday.
No, next, we'll do a special executive session meeting.
Oh, okay.
Where we can meet in person with both Jimmy and Cindy at the brick, at the town offices, and so still socially distanced with masks. Or we could even meet outside on the porch or something.
Okay.
The only, that all sounds good. The only question I have is, I don't think we arrived at a decision whether we were going to each do our own write-up and have basically and put it all into one single evaluation. Because if we go that route, we're going to need a pre-session to the review. Or if we're all each just going to do our own reviews, because if we're going to come up with a single review that we're all going to give to Jim and to Cynthia, then we need to meet ahead of time and agree on what the input is going to be.
Well, personally, from a selfish point of view, and it is selfish because this is my busy time of year, and it's perfectly selfish, I would suggest that we each do a review, and then we will not collate them and put them into one, and we will each review both Cindy and Jimmy, and then we can get this this slate of reviews over with, and then we can decide what we're going to do if indeed we want to do something regarding wages at our next regular meeting. And I think we're already behind on Jimmy and behind on Cindy. And I think I don't want to have another meeting personally. And that's just pure selfishness on my part. I'm staying out till dark working every day and I don't really need another meeting. That's just selfish.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I appreciate that. It does set a precedent for how we do personnel evaluations if we all do our own separate ones. I'm fine with that, but it is a precedent. And so going forward, that means pretty much that's kind of our pattern, is we each do our own.
Well, that's what we have done that in the past, and we have also done it not because we all are both Jimmy's and Cindy's supervisors. That's kind of where we're at.
Well,
I'm willing to do whatever the board wants to do. I'm just telling you my selfish point of view, and I'm admitting it's selfish.
Well, just to clarify though, what we did last time for the last, so they've been done a little bit differently each time. So Frank, of course, did the last one since he was the road commissioner, and so Jimmy hasn't had one yet. Before that, what we did was, we did one document, but each board member wrote their own comments, but it was all one document. Before that, two board members basically got together and wrote all the comments and then got the rest of the board to approve on what they had written. So we're kind of setting a different precedent, and it's fine, you know, I mean, but we should stay consistent whatever we do.
I think it'd be a good idea if we each filled one of these out, so when we came, we knew where, you know, we stood on the two. I do think we ought to sit down and discuss prior, whether it's 15 minutes and then come up, you know, I mean, it could potentially be on the same night as the actual review. Just so we're all on the same page, I guess. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I guess the other point, again, just kind of from a precedent standpoint, is I understand people are busy and it's a busy time of year, but you know, we are, when it comes to personnel evaluations, we are collectively the employer of individually the, you know, supervisors. And so there is a little bit of, it can be confusing from the employee's standpoint to get five different evaluations from five different board members. And from the employee's standpoint, they might, it might be a little bit confusing as to, okay, well, John said this and Chuck said that and Emily said something completely different. And that can be a little bit confusing, right? I would think from a employee standpoint. So I'm not trying to overcomplicate things. I'm just pointing out that we actually, it is sort of complicated to do five different evaluations. And even though it's a busy time of year, I think the better, my personal view is the better course of action would be to take the time and come up with a single evaluation that we can give to each employee and just work it out. That would be the ideal way to go.
So would that mean we just start the meeting like 15, 20 minutes earlier, half hour earlier, do those before they show up? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, that's one way. If we can knock it out that quickly, yeah.
Yep. I mean, I could see doing that as opposed to maybe trying to have another whole separate meeting. I mean, we all are busy. But we got to do our job too, so.
Yep.
And the other question I got is, should we give Jimmy a heads up or take the time to talk about the commissioner position that he wanted to wait and you know, sit down with us face to face? Should we try to knock that out too?
Might as well, just to limit how many in-person meetings we need to have.
Right. Yep.
So we need a motion as to what we're going to do. I don't care what we do, but we need a motion. Let's make up our minds and move forward.
Well, I don't know if it needs a motion, but I would move that we meet early, just as Steve is suggesting, and discuss the draft evaluation before we actually give it to the employee, to each of the employees.
What time?
I don't see how you're going to do a collated document and have it in writing in 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Maybe you can. I don't know. It seems to me that that's going to take more time than that. It's fine if everybody agrees, but if they don't, then I think it's going to be a little challenging.
Let me make another suggestion, because this is actually what we did, not last time, but the time before that. And this proved to be effective, is we just put the form out in a secure location and each person could add their comments into the form individually. And then we could get together before giving the evaluation and just discuss those comments. And if there's anything to reconcile, we can reconcile it, but at least we don't have to collate it, as you're saying, Emily, before the meeting. We could get that all done individually, remotely. Just like we did last time, where we had a version out on SharePoint and each person just added their comments. The only thing we need to really, I think, agree on collectively is what X's to mark on each of the sections. And we should be able to work that out pretty quickly, I hope.
I would think that would work.
So when do you want the meeting, and how do you want to proceed?
It's today.
Tentatively, you had it scheduled for the 24th. Well, we had it scheduled for the 24th.
Yeah, that's we can stick with the 24th. That's fine.
And what happens before the 24th? We're all going to get a copy of a form that's...
We'll put a form out on SharePoint, and then each board member can just put their comments in ahead of the meeting. That way they're already there. And the only thing we would need to work out, you know, in 15 or half an hour before giving the personnel evaluation is just making sure we're in concurrence on where to mark the boxes. And again, hopefully we can knock that out pretty quickly.
I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to meet at 7 o'clock and then have Cindy come at 7:30 and Jimmy at 8 or vice versa?
No, we'd have to meet at...
We can meet anytime we want to. We don't have to start a meeting at 6 necessarily. I'm sorry. I'm busy. I don't usually get in here at 6. Get in anywhere at 6. So if we can make it later, it gives me a little more chance to get what I need to get done. And you know, it's not like I don't start till noon. So can we make it at 7 and like have one person come at 7:30 and one come at 8?
That's fine, but we still need that time ahead of time to do.
So if we have a meeting at 7 and we work on the two collations between 7 and 7:30, we'll have one individual come at 7:30 and one come at 8. That gives us a half an hour to go through the documents. Is that enough time?
I hope so. I don't know. We can try it. See how it goes.
I'm asking here. I'm trying to get a decision made. I don't care what the decision necessarily is, as long as we get the job done and we have enough time to do it. If we're going to do it all in one meeting, then we need some semblance of agreement as to how long it's going to take us to go through these two documents.
It could be very simple. It could happen in 5 minutes each, but it could take considerably longer. I don't think it would.
Let's try it. See where.
All right. We'll have an executive session on the 24th at 7 o'clock for personnel issues.
Yeah.
Evaluations.
Yeah, I'd say evaluations, not issues. That might send the wrong message.
I wrote evaluations in my thing. And we will talk to Jimmy and Cindy as to which person would prefer to come at 7:30 and which one would prefer to come at 8. I'll email Jimmy, and I will also make sure that date is acceptable to him. Is that date acceptable to you, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, you've got any preference whether you come at 7:30 or 8?
Why don't I come at 8? Because Jim gets up early.
Okay, sounds good. I will check with Jimmy.
And just mention it to Jim about the road commissioner discussion will be part of it too at some point.
Okay.
So he can put his thoughts together.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. Have we made a decision then?
Yes.
We have.
Excellent. End of year finances, 2020 tax collection. Are you still there, Ellen?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to speak to the information that you have regarding tax collection dates?
Well, I have the same information that I sent to all of you, which came from the state, indicating that they were hoping they could stick with the early July date to provide education tax rates. But at that time, they would not have the education assistance payments calculated. So if we were to choose to send bills out at the same time we normally do, to aim for the due date in August that was approved at town meeting, we could do that, but it would mean that none of the local residents who qualify for the education assistance would have that on their bill. But that's okay. I can reprint those bills when we get the information from the state. And my understanding is the people who get those payments receive a letter from the state before I get the download from the state. So they would know a few days before I do how much they're going to be receiving. And I don't know how much those payments vary from one year to another. I know it's related to their income, which might vary depending on the type of work they do. But if people chose to send in some odd amount that they thought they might be liable for and wait and make the rest, see what we get from the state, that's okay with me. I would think that the state has given you the power to decide whether or not to levy late charges. And maybe if those education payments are late, it would be appropriate to not assess late charges for that first month of August. But I think I would be in favor of getting the tax bills out at the earliest opportunity, keeping the same due date, because 3/4 of the people who receive tax bills would be paying them just as they're printed. There's only 1/4 of the people who would be waiting to get those education assistance payments.
Would you put a notice into all of the tax bill envelopes that said that you hadn't received the information regarding the education assistance and that a revised bill would be coming to those people that would receive that? They would be getting a revised bill as soon as you had the state figures available to you?
Yes, I'd plan to put something like that in there.
I personally think that's better than postponing all of the taxes.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Any other comments on that? I think that's a great idea. And do you want to speak to end of year finances?
Well, I let Chad go over those things because I felt more confident in his going over them than my doing them myself and then leaving something important out. And his comment was that there is plenty of money in the checking account right now to pay for the paving bill if Pike finishes in the month of June. As of right now in the paving reserve, there's around $280,000. So that's almost half of what their bill would be. And if we get the tax bills out the way at the time we usually do, there are a lot of people who send in their payment as soon as those tax bills are in their hands. And if that happens, we might end up with a significant amount of money by the end of July that would mean we wouldn't really have to worry. My main concern was that July has a lot of big bills. I think that all the bills we'll be paying in July will amount to about $120,000 when you consider payroll and the routine expenses. And then the about $930,000 will be owed to the local schools by the end of August. So my biggest concern was large bills in July, the paving bill coming due in its entirety before we get any reimbursement from the state, and almost $1 million going out the door to the schools. So it would be nice to be able to get some of that money coming in for taxes to make the school thing easier. I got the impression from Mascoma that it isn't necessarily a time-consuming process to get a tax anticipation note, but certainly we'd have a better idea whether we would need to do something like that depending on how much tax income we get by the end of July.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I think we should proceed with the tax bills as normal and just revise those for the income sensitive people when the data becomes available.
I asked Chad, the biggest lump of money that I could get my hands on quickly, as Kevin Rice had indicated, is that there's a CD for about $250,000 in the name of the fire department that was originally going to be used for them to buy a truck. And that is sitting at Mascoma. So And Mascoma has already told me that they would be willing to redeem that early because it has another year at least to run before its normal due date. They won't charge any kind of penalty for redeeming it early. But if we were worried, that would be the easiest place to go to get $250,000 into the operating account just to make it easier to write some checks. And then depending on when the money comes in, that we just kind of refill those places that we've drawn from.
So that sounds good to me. Any other questions anyone else has? Okay, while we have Ellen on the phone, we have got to resolve the LaBounty Trust thing. I went up and signed that document for her last week, at the end of the week. And do you need to have all five of our signatures on that document before you send it down to the court?
I don't actually know whether I need everybody's signature or if I just need a quorum of the select board. In the past, of course, when the documents were drawn up for that, there was only a three-person select board. So I think that they had expected that all three of them would be signing. And then one person from the community, and Karen Hewitt Osno has been designated as that person. So she has signed, and Chuck came in today and signed, and you've signed, Emily. Scott's made arrangements to sign it by Zoom tomorrow around 4-ish, which is fine with me. I'm only half a mile from that building, so I can nip up there whenever it's convenient for somebody to be able to sign that document. It's just that it has to be notarized, and so I have to be somewhat finicky about how it gets signed. I would like to have everybody's signature on it by Friday so I can send it in before the end of the month.
So I can come in Friday morning.
Okay.
Can you get there at some point, John, perhaps?
Yeah, I will send Ellen an email.
Okay. So we'll get that document signed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to there, Ellen, I'm assuming, because it has to be notarized.
I beg pardon?
You need to be there to witness the signature.
I'm supposed to, yes.
Okay. All right. I will send you an email tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. So we had added on here brick building repairs. And I was reminded by John Moore and by John the carpenter that we had planned to do the windowsills and on the brick building. And there was a little bit of repair that needed to be done on the back corner, as I recall. And John thought that we had gotten the slate roof on, and it would be nice if we could finish that project off. I do not recall how much it was going to cost to have John Symes do it, but it wasn't a terribly large amount. Does anyone have any feeling as to whether we can afford to take that money out of the building, town buildings reserve, to get that job finished?
I think there's about $40,000 in the town building reserve sitting in the operating account right now.
And some of that is going to go to paint and fix the town garage. But I don't believe we're going to use, John Morgan's estimate was what, about $9,000, Steve?
Right in that ballpark, yeah.
And the painting was going to be $8,500. So there's still a significant amount of money in that building reserve. And if indeed...
Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm being asked to do that. Hopefully they won't cut me off. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Anyway, I'd like to put that on the next meeting's agenda, and I will pull those figures from John Syme, and we'll see if the board agrees that we should finish that project off. I will put it on the next meeting's agenda, and Does anybody have any feeling on that?
I think we want once the numbers are in, I think we should wrap the project up, have it completed.
Anybody else have any thoughts?
I would just toss in that there will be one more accounts payable warrant this year because there are still a couple of bills, the credit card and Staples, that come in later in the month. I have to pay VEMRs and state withholding. I like to get those liabilities off the balance sheet before year end so that I'm not carrying anything over. And if there are any last minute bills that you are aware of, I'm assuming that this work is not going to be done until next fiscal year, so I don't have to worry about those things next week.
We won't get it together by then, no.
So
I will try and dig out those figures for John Syme and find out what needed to be done in the back corner regarding pointing up that corner and see if I can get John and John to get an estimate get together for the next meeting.
Sounds good.
The only other thing I had on there was Tego intersection, and we kind of covered that before on Road Foreman's report, so I don't think we need to talk about that, and we did the bounty. Is there anything that I have forgotten that is on the agenda? Okay, hearing no comments. Select Board correspondence. The only thing I had was the Two Rivers thing, and also we got notice that it was going to be a while, and they don't know how long before we will get reimbursed for the highway grant on the Howe Hill project. And the grant that we put in for the culverts, they've not even made a decision on yet. I'm assuming that unless we are extremely fortunate and they are willing to bend the rules, that we will not get that grant anyway because we've already done the work. But we kind of had to do the work. Review of assignments. Cindy?
State Police for Bartlett Brook Road. Symes for Brick Building. And
you're going to get those documents done for the
reviews.
Reviews.
I'll send them tomorrow.
And I'm going to email Jimmy at 7:30 on the 24th and see if that's acceptable.
Yes.
Any other things? And Scott, you're going to, and Chuck, you're going to get that conflict of interest thing updated, and so we can adopt that at the next meeting.
Yeah, it's sure. It's already done. We just need to get Cindy hooked into SharePoint.
Right.
Oh, okay, that's great. And let's see. Was there anything else? And do you want to put on the agenda for next meeting dirt bike activities? Or ATV policy?
I don't know that we need to. I mean, we've got the ordinance and...
Okay.
Unless somebody wants to kind of talk about it as the motorbikes, the dirt bikes is something we want to take up because there is no ordinance covering that.
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah. I don't know. Why not? Let's put it on the agenda, and if there's something to talk about. I'm not sure what exactly, but.
Okay. Any other items that anybody wishes to discuss?
Probably the next meeting for sure. The truck RFP bids will be in for us to review.
Okay. And,
or at least John and I get together and go over them, and then.
Are they due to be opened at the next meeting?
July 1, yes.
Okay. Opening the bids, then. That should be on the agenda. Okay. Anything else? If not, I'm looking for some kind of motion.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, John?
Aye.
Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And I'm an aye. Thank you very much for attending.